going to do. I do believe that sometimes, I'm not going to say all the time, but sometimes when opposition arises, especially in the realm of complications and issues and things along that line, it's just the devil working to try to stop something that the Lord knows that needs to get out there. And I believe that's where, really and truly, where we are, where we may be these past couple of weeks or 2 weeks, if you will. This message, guys, has been something of a blessing, a conviction to my heart. And I do think in a great way that it is something that will benefit each and every one of us and all those who may participate in hear this sermon. So in Luke chapter 15, just looking at our text verse really from last week to start out with, by way of just kind of bringing us back where we need to be. When we look here in Luke 15, verses 11 through 14, the Bible says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want." Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you again for the opportunity to be in your house. And Lord, I pray that we put aside all the distractions, disruptions, dear Lord, that has occurred this morning. We ask of you, Lord God, to please speak to our hearts and our minds through your precious word. Lord, I ask you, Lord God, to help us apply this into our life. Maybe not today, but in the near future, Father, or how we can learn of it from the past, of how you have given your holy scriptures unto us and the glorious events that not only lead up to the precious return of this young man, but Father, what we can learn in the meantime, while he is in the midst of the famine, while he is in the midst of the mistakes that he has made. Lord, we love you, we thank you, we give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. Luke chapter 15 records the events of two boys, if you will, two brothers from the same home. They have the same upbringing, the same work ethic is being taught to them, the same family. They have a father and a mother who taught them both to have integrity and respect. But one chooses to dishonor all that his father has provided. And as we heard last week, we heard that he was gone afar, gone afar. I told you I was going to slip that slide in there because I like it so much, amen. And work too hard on that one, not to bring it in sometime or another. So last week we heard that he was gone afar. Guys, he went afar, if you will. He was gone afar first and foremost in his mind and in his heart. And then as usual, when that mind begins to go afar, when it begins to be drawn out and lured, if you will, by the wickedness of this world, his body would soon follow. He would demand his inheritance, his portion which befalleth unto him, essentially telling his father, "You're dead to me," and he would leave. This younger boy decides to remove himself and get caught up with riotous living, which essentially is unfettered sin. But when reality set in, we found that in the last point last week, when reality set in, when the money was failing and the famine falls on those of that country, I don't know if you noticed that in the scripture, the Bible says that there was a famine that fell on that country. It wasn't in the country of his family. It wasn't in the country even potentially surrounding them, but it was in that country, if you will. That's important to understand as we move on here this morning. So reality set in, the famine falls, the money fails. And so my question today is, what is he going to do? What in your heart and your mind? I know you know the rest of the story. I understand that. But we're looking at the areas between, if you will, point A and point B. The areas that really and truly matter. We saw that reality set in his heart and his life, that he had made a massive mistake, did he not? But what would he do? So I propose this question to you this morning. As last week we looked at him gone afar, this week we're going to ask the question, is he too far gone? Is he too far gone in this installment, this second installment of this Gone series? Beloved, you would think at this point in time, with all that had happened, that it would cause him just to come on home. You would think in his heart and his life, and although, guys, one thing is brewing in his heart, one thing is brewing in this mind of this great waster that's keeping him, that's hindering him from going home. But if we look at it in our mindset, we look at it through where we, I guess the mindset of logic, the mindset of common sense, we look at it without being in his own shoes, we stop and we think, man, just go home. You got a home, you got food, you got a bed, you got a father, you got a mother, you got a family, you got all these things. Just go home, if you will. And yet there's something that is stirring the mind up of the prodigal, stirring the mind up of this great waster. And I submit this thought to you guys, it's pride. It's pride. You see, pride, even after having lost everything, forsaken by those that he thought were his friends, his mates, when hard times came, now he was sat there alone. And it was pride that showed and looked for an encore. Friend, pride has a way to completely destroy anything good. Pride has a way to destroy anything that is moral. Pride has a way to destroy and to seek out and hinder and harm anything that is of God. That's what pride does. Make no mistake. Any and all things associated with pride are pure evil. You know, the word occurs 49 times in 46 verses. And we find that pride is associated with sin. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 tells us, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world." Categorically speaking, sin is rooted and grounded in pride. There is no way around it. Pride is sin, and sin is pride. They go together. They're never separated one of another. You can't be prideful without being sinful, and you can't be sinful without pride. It is an impossibility. Why? Because the very one who conceived sin into the creation and into the world today is the Father. Jesus Christ said, the Father of all pride. Psalm 10, verse 2 tells us, "The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined." Pride is not positive, my friend. Pride is not happy. Pride is not pleasing. Pride is nothing but destruction, nothing but pure, unadulterated sin. And guys, those who get caught up in pride, this destructive pride, such destruction will fall back unto themselves. So why would anyone want to be associated with pride? You have to ask yourself that question here this morning. Pride is not only associated with sin, but pride is associated with Satan. Psalm 10, verse 2 says, "The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor." Guys, we've read that already. But I want to go back to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16, where it says, now, I've underlined the emphasis of our mind that are up there. It says, "For all that is in the world," all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but of the world. It's not of the Father, but of the world. So think about that for just a second. If it's not of God, then who can it be of? Pride is of Satan. So pride is associated with sin. Pride is associated, if you will, with Satan. Pride is associated with shame. And we read in Proverbs 11, verse 2, "When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but the lowly is wisdom." The lowly is wisdom. And pride only leads to a slaughter. Proverbs 16, 18 says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." My friend, again, I submit this thought to you this morning. There is nothing good about pride. And this young man today, this great waster, this prodigal son, as we become to know him in history and in our life. Anytime you mention a prodigal, the first thing you go to is you think of that boy of Luke chapter 15. The word prodigal is rarely used in society today. It's rarely ever used in anything outside of referring to this particular story, whether it's a cliche or whether it is an inference, whatever it may be. When the prodigal is used, there's a reference back to this young man. And we find that this young man was filled with pride, beloved. Beloved, the word of God, the word of truth is very clear. It says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogance in the evil way. In the froward mouth do I hate." Beloved, if you consider today the Bible to be your sole authority for faith and practice, you will root pride from your life. In the case of the prodigal, this great waster, he has made a wreck of his life. He has wasted all of his substance. He has set nothing back. And now a famine has come into the very land where he ran and went afar off. And I want you to look at it this way. He was gone afar into a place he had no business to be. This was his choice, my friend. This wasn't the choice of someone else. He wasn't sold into slavery. He wasn't hauled off like Joseph. There was nothing righteous about his decision. What he did was by his own doing. And he had no business in being there. This is when he had control. When he made the choice to go into the far off country, that was his choice. You know, he could have saved. He could have put his money back. He could have invested. He could have, all of this was his choice, his mistake. He had the control at one time. But then when all of it was gone, the control was taken away from him and a famine was brought into that land. Now it doesn't matter because he's wasted everything that he's had, and he thinks that maybe he could depend on those people that he was running around with, and they forsook him, and all of a sudden he thought, well, maybe I can just live it up here still somehow, some way. And then a famine came into that land. Another door closed. First, he had the choice. He could have went back home. Secondly, he lost control and didn't make the right choice. He could have gone home. He could have sought forgiveness. He could have been restored, yet pride, number one, caused him to reinforce his position. Look with me in verse 15 this morning. The Bible says in verse 15, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Beloved, now here's what I want you to think about this morning. I want you to think of the depth of where this young brother, this younger brother, has found himself. This young man's riotous living and wasting all he had has gotten a hold of him so much. He has now linked himself with Gentiles. He, being a Jew, takes a job to feed the unclean animals, animals that he was strictly forbidden to be associated with. In verse 15, guys, there is so much involved in this verse as we begin to unpack it and we find out what the results of giving yourself over to sin and forsaking the foundation of the Lord, what those results of reinforcing your life is, to reinforce yourself into sin, the right way of living. Walk in the right ways of Christ. When he reinforced his own sin, pride set into his heart. He doubled down on his sinful lifestyle and became twofold the child of the devil. You say, wait a second, preacher, that sounds a bit harsh. Yeah, it does. But again, go back with me to the pattern. He said, give me all of my living. Give me all that is mine. And he left and went to a far-off country. He wasted all that he had with riotous living. And when all the money failed, a famine came into the land. Those that he was running around with, obviously they forsook him. And so instead of going back home, he doubled down and he reinforced his position in being the great waster and the sinful man that he was, forsaking all that his family had done for him. But he took a step further. He didn't just, and again, I'm not picking and choosing and overlooking sin, and I'm not saying that it was just a waste for it and just the right. I'm not saying that. All of it is vile. All of it was terrible. But what he did, he didn't only double down. He took a giant step forward in the midst of that vile, reprobate living and joined himself with the people in a way of life that was so contrary to the Word of God that he became unclean. You see, Leviticus tells us in Leviticus chapter 11, it says, and the swine, though he divideth the hoof and be cloven-footed, yet he cheweth not the cud, is unclean to you. Of their flesh shall ye not eat, and of their carcass shall ye not touch. They are unclean to you. Now, guys, I realize today this may not seem like much to us. And I'll be honest with you, I can't even come up with an illustration to really and truly convey to you the depth of this sin. But if you think of what is all good and righteous and the right ways of God and living the godly Christian life, all you need to do is turn completely opposite in your mind and in your heart. And that's exactly where this young man has found himself to be. He has reinforced himself into his position. So I address the question of being too far gone. We have to look at who he is and understand how truly far away he has come. Pride has caused him, by his own choice of mind, to forsake all he was, his very life, his culture, his family, and ultimately, primarily, the Word of God. He has done and is doing things fully unimaginable in the mind of his father and his mother. And as they watched this younger brother grow up, as they watched him grow up to become a man one day, and then he turned his back, now they probably heard about the famine in that land. And I bet they just wonder, I wonder how he's been. He's doubled down on his sin. He reinforced his position. Beloved, sin will take you further than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay. And beloved, it'll cost you more than you're willing to pay. This is an eternal truth across 6,000 years of mankind. When you dabble in sin, guys, you will not control the sin. The sin will control you, and we see that with this young man. Just as this son has tied together with God haters, the same thing will happen to us today. The darkness will attract the wayward believer, and before you know it, between witches and warlocks in our community today, and I know you say, preacher, that sounds like that's far. Guys, I'm telling you right now, our very little village right here is filled with pagans and those that are praying to a pentagram and those that are worshiping Satan. I mean, within a rock's throw of the Word of God being preached right now, there are those that have tied their hands with Satan, and not in a symbolic form, but I mean in a magical form, if you will. Wicked, wicked people across this land. Satan worshipers will become your companions if you're not careful. And those who thrive on darkness of a fallen world will become who you think are your only friends. The flesh will fight you to not give up. The flesh will reinforce your ill decisions which brought you to where you are, just as it did with this younger brother. And it'll bring you to a point of demise of all that is good and right. Reinforcing a rebellious choice, a detrimental decision, can I tell you, will always have harmful results. Look in verse 16 with me, if you will, in Luke 15. The Bible says that he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Let me ask you this question this morning. Where's his friends? Where are those that he got caught up with that riotous living? Where are those harlots that he was running around with? Where are those whoremongers he was running around? Where are those drunkards now, the revelers, those that he was living the high life and having a great time and thought they were his buddies and his friends, but the money's gone, and so were they. And then the famine sat in, and he went and hooked up with a Gentile man, somebody that he should have never been linked with being a Jew. Tied hands there, worked on the farm, and then he looked at the food that he was feeding, husk. You know what a husk is? The outside of a corn, the sleeve of a corn. Anybody ever eaten a husk before? We did. It was these kids. We're just curious what they tasted like. They're not good. They don't taste like anything. It's like crunching cardboard or something. Matter of fact, cardboard probably has a little better taste than that than a husk does. And that old boy's feeding those pigs, dirtiest animals you can ever imagine. Animals who cool themselves in their own dung. And he's like looking at it going, man, he had a desire to feed himself. Is that what he was feeding the hogs? No man gave unto him. The people he longed to be around, the people that he was gone afar with, the people that he heard of their lifestyle and their liberty, if you will, their freedom, that drew him away from the security and safety and blessedness of his father's home, they were nowhere to be found. He sought out and he wasted his substance with these group, and they were long gone. No one's around to help. No man would feed him. They cast him off as quick as they came into his life. Beloved, can I say this to you this morning, that when you remove yourself from the will of God, riotous living will always have a negative effect on your life. It will never render the peaceable fruit of righteousness in your life. It may look appealing for a short time. There may be a draw because of the strictness and sternness of the Word of God and your family's raising or whatever. There may be that lure to it. I can promise you this. It's never, ever, ever going to give you peace in your life. But it will render you scars for the rest of your days. It will cause you to reach your lowest and darkest point of your entire life. It'll even allow you to blame everyone and everything else in your life other than the one that is truly responsible, you. Beloved, in the miry pig pen, feeding alongside these unclean animals, this was the results of him removing himself of all that was good and godly, moving himself from a family that loved him. But I ask you this morning, this is the ultimate question, is he too far gone? Is he too far gone? Beloved, most of us know the events recorded of the prodigal son, and we don't know his name. We don't know his family's name. And personally, I discussed, me and Daisy were talking about this after church last week, so I gave her, she got a little bit of a head start. But I believe in all of my heart that the Lord did this for a reason. I thank God in his infinite wisdom and mercy. I believe he shrouded the family name of this event in history. And I believe he did it for a reason. Imagine with me, if you will. Here's this younger brother starving, ready and willing to eat alongside unclean animals, these pigs. Here's a father, a respected man in the community, who poured his heart and his soul into providing a good life for his family, raised them the right way, gave them opportunity, and yet one son turns his back on everything, treats his father as he was dead, and he departs. Friend, this father would have been heartbroken. I realize the mother is not mentioned in the story, but I believe her heart would have been crushed. Nights would have been sleepless. Father would have been heartbroken, just to say the least, but the reality is he would also be embarrassed. No one wants to hear this side of the story, do we? See, guys, there's some parts in here that we like. What we want to do, in the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15 is, man, we want to read about the tragic error that he made, and, man, we want to sprint like you will. We want to get as fast as we can, like chariots of fire. We want to run way over here to where he comes and he bows and he's restored and all, because we want to celebrate those days. But we can't forget what happens in the meantime. We can't forget the reality that not only was this father heartbroken, not only was his mind crushed, his emotions distorted, disillusioned with reality, he would have been embarrassed. Now, guys, no one wants to hear the side of the story about the embarrassment, I understand, but his embarrassment did not relinquish his love for his son. But let's face it, it's a normal emotion. When word broke out of how this son had left and turned his back on his family, he either took one third or one half. It depends on how you want to look at it. One third or one half of the financial support of the family business. Now remember, the Bible tells us that the father divided up his living. There's two ways to look at that. He either divided it up in half between both sons, meaning he had nothing, or he divided it up in thirds. He gave one third to one son, one third to another son, and then he maintained a third of control, equal shares, if you will, in the family business and the livelihood. Either which way about it, this young boy then goes into a country whose citizens absolutely hated the Jews, who lived in pagan lifestyles, participated in everything this young man was taught not to do, and stopped doing everything he was taught to do. And you know what a result of that was? He wasted everything that he had. He wasted his time given and granted by God. He wasted this portion of his life. I used to tell young people, be careful for your emotions. And I say this out of experience, and we still fall back on this at times. But be careful that your emotions don't get the best of you right now in a present moment and you ruin and waste the next 10 minutes, 30 minutes, hour, day, week, month. But you can't get those times back. You understand what I'm saying? Teenagers have a way of getting irritated and upset at parents. That's part of being a teenager. You know, I don't fault them, you know. It's part of it. Parents have a way of getting upset and irritated with their children. That's part of being irritated, wanting them to be better than they are. That's just part of it, guys. That's a part of raising children. It's part of life. This man would have done the same. You've done the same. I've done the same in both sides of the coin, as a teenager and as a parent. The thing that we got to be mighty careful of in the moment and in that minute is that we don't lose the time that God has given us together. That we don't let an incident or a situation or a decision to rob us of the time that God has given us in the here and now. This young man will never get back the days that he squandered in his life. He has absolutely positively wasted the days that God has given him. He goes into this country of people who absolutely hated him, everything that he stood for, hated his God, and he wasted it. So we apply this to our life today. We're looking at the results of reinforcing your position of sin. Applied into our age today, this young man wasted his Christianity. He wasted the grace that was bestowed upon him by God in heaven. He made a mockery of the cross, a great sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He took the testimony of the gospel of our Lord and Savior, and he placed it in the muck of filth, both the filth of this world and the filth of that pig pen. Why? Because he reinforced his position, and that was the results. What a horribly sad story. I mean, I would imagine the townsfolk considered that boy too far gone. I would imagine the people of his own country, as maybe the word got back of the great famine was in that land, the boy had made it home. Some probably said, speculated that he was dead, or some probably speculated he was just too far gone. I would imagine that would have been the word. And I'm sure there were some in that country who felt sorry for the family, felt sorry for that father. But just as good old human nature would have it, I'm sure there were some that sat back and said, well, I wonder what really happened on behind closed doors. I wonder what was really going on in that family. I wonder what was really happening in that family business. While as many would sit back and gossip, highlighting this younger son's choices, his failures, and even his future, all the while they'd cast blame on the family. How sad it is. How sad it is for being wounded by the brethren. Wretched tongue, the flaming fire, the piercing words of people. Such a horrible state of affairs. But I believe in all of my heart, guys. I believe in all of my heart that the infinite wisdom and the mercy of God shrouded us from this family name, protecting the legacy of this righteous father from going down into history as a continual earmark of a fractured home. Truly, God's mercy endureth forever. Truly, his compassions fail not. Truly, this morning, they are new every morning. But I ask you the question yet again. Is he too far gone? Is this boy too far gone? The next verse begins to answer this question, this living this life in shame. We read in verse 17 that it says, and when he came to himself. Now, I like that part. That's the part we want to run to. This is the part that we want to run as fast as we can when he came to himself. What happened here? Beloved, he began to remember. He remembered. Look at verse 17 with me. And when he had came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish but with hunger? He says, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. He said, in my father's house. How many hired servants is my father? In my father's house, my friend. You know, despite popular preaching today, this young man never ceased to be his father's son. Most people like to preach the idea that a person can be saved and born again of the blood of Christ and then lose that salvation. It's no different than this young boy right here. This young boy made a wretched, despicable decision. He wasted his life. He wasted his substance. He marred and scarred his family name. But not one millisecond did he ever cease to be the son of this father. The father never stopped being this boy's dad. His father never stopped loving him. His father never ceased from praying for him. His father never stopped weeping over him. His father never stopped pleading with God to switch the light on in his son's heart and help him remember from whence he came. Again, I remind you that we have no idea how long this process took place. We don't know how long he was in this far-off country. We don't know how long he was in the famine. We don't know how long he was living riotous living. We don't know any of those things. And again, I believe it to be the infinite wisdom of our providential hand of God. Otherwise, if it had taken place in 6 months, if it had taken place, we'd have held down and we'd have locked the date. 6 weeks, we'd have held, same thing, guys. We'd have said, okay, hey, listen, so-and-so went out, they made mistakes, they're wasting life, but 6 months, they'll be right back. It would cause us not to pray. God Almighty has shrouded our knowledge in these things that we apply properly in our lives and love by faith the wayward son or daughter, and that they would hopefully remember one day from where they came. Beloved, may we never forget our Father in heaven. May we never forget who and what we are. Better yet, whose we are. And that was the prayer of this dad that day. Help him remember who he is. Help him remember whose he is. Help him remember from whence he came. Jesus Christ said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Paul said it like this in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. He says, for ye are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. I love that old hymn. I love that old hymn. I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. I love to hear that song. I love to just sing it along in my heart and my mind, because today, no matter what I've done or even will do, I'm a child of the King. And that's the prayer of this father this day. And that's the prayer of this father and this prodigal son, remembering the thoughts of whether he's too far gone. And that's the question that I submit to you guys. We've seen thus far that he removed himself from his family. He got caught up in riotous living. Reality set in. When reality set in, instead of going home, he reinforced his position. The results were something of tragic harm. The results were a despicable choice. The results were that he desired to be fed with the pigs and the slop and the muck and the mire. And then all of a sudden, he remembered. So is he too far gone, beloved? We'll see next week what happens as he remembered from whence he came. But most importantly today, he remembered who he was. And beloved, if I can submit any thought to you this morning, remember who you are right now. You're saved, born again of the blood of Christ, sealed into the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit of God. Remember whose child you are. Remember who your Father in heaven is. Remember who Jesus Christ is. And whatever you do, don't waste your Christianity. Don't waste even a second of your family, of your future. Don't waste your Christianity. Don't waste the grace that God has put into our life. Will you bow your heads this morning? Father in heaven, I thank you, dear Lord, for all that you've done and who and what you are. And I pray now that you please give us guidance, grace, and mercy. Forgive us of where we have failed you, Father. And I pray that you take the message, write it upon the table of our hearts. Allow it, dear Lord, to please order our steps, make the needed moves in our life that we need to better and best serve you. Father, I pray for those wayward sons and daughters in the world today. I pray for those prodigals, dear God, that in the same pattern and providential hand God had, Lord, I pray for them this morning, that they will remember from whence they came, Lord God, to understand that they're not too far gone. And I pray they never be so. In Jesus Christ's name we ask. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us today. I do hope and pray the sermon you just heard was a tender blessing to your heart and to your soul. I hope that it gives you the encouragement, edification to face the challenges that we see each and every day and week throughout our life. I'd like to invite you out to one of our live services here at Seren Chapel in Aberaman. We are located on Lewis Street as well as Davis Street. Davis Street is the entrance to our chapel, and as well as Lewis Street is the entrance to our hall, and you can use either one of them. But secondly today, guys, I would like to share just a brief message to you now to ask you to where you are going in eternity. If today was the last day you were alive, if today, by some tragedy, this was the last moment you had on this earth, when you closed your eyes, would you wake up and see Jesus Christ? It is a simple question, guys, and it is even a more simple answer. The Bible tells us that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, paid the ultimate price for mankind. He gave us the free pass to eternal life by giving his life on the cross of Calvary, being buried into that grave, but rising again on the third day. It is simple as this. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You see, guys, while we were sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ loves us so much that he gave his life. As a matter of fact, Romans 5:8 tells us, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Sin is defined as the transgression of God's law. But what happened was the payment for mankind is death. Romans 6:23 clearly tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So I ask you today, what would stop you right here, right now, from bowing your head and saying a prayer much like this? Lord Jesus Christ, I trust in you. Jesus Christ, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins, and I believe that you stepped up out of the grave to give us victory over sin and victory over death. I invite you into my heart and ask forgiveness of my sins and ask you to lead, God, and direct me throughout the rest of my life. Now, here's the thing. You say that prayer in your own words, but you have to say it and believe in it. Remember, Romans 10:9 says, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That is a promise from the Word of God. That is a promise from God himself. That is the promise from the Creator of all things, that if you'll believe on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, ask forgiveness of your sins, accept his free gift and pardon of sin into your heart today, that you will be born again, that you will have eternal life in heaven. Guys, I hope and pray this is a blessing to you today. I hope and pray that you'd make that decision. And if you have, if you've made that decision today, let us rejoice with you. Come by and see us here at the church, or hit us up online at any of the social media outlets or through email or however you can. Just share with us the glorious transformation that you just received in your life. Guys, I hope to see you soon in the house of God. Hope to see you soon right here in Sharon Chapel. And may the Lord be with each and every one of you. God bless.